Book 1, Chapter 7. How Pompey had the city of Jerusalem delivered up to him, but took the temple by force. How he went into the Holy of Holies, as also what were his other exploits in Judea. 1. At this treatment Pompey was very angry, and took Aristobulus into custody. And when he was come to the city, he looked about where he might make his attack, for he saw the walls were so firm that it would be hard to overcome them, and that the valley before the walls was terrible, and that the temple, which was within the valley, was itself encompassed by a very strong wall, insomuch that if the city were taken, that temple would be a second place of refuge for the enemy to retire to. 2. Now as he was long in deliberating about this matter, a sedition arose among the people within the city, Aristobulus's party being willing to fight, and to set their king at liberty, while the party of Hyrcanus were for opening the gates to Pompey, and the dread people wherein occasioned these last to be a very numerous party, when they looked upon the excellent order the Roman soldiers were in. So Aristobulus's party was worsted, and retired into the temple, and cut off the communication between the temple and the city, by breaking down the bridge that joined them together, and prepared to make an opposition to the utmost. But as the others had received the Romans into the city, and had delivered up the palace to him, Pompey sent Piso, one of his great officers, into that palace with an army, who distributed a garrison about the city, because he could not persuade any one of those that had fled to the temple to come to terms of accommodation. He then disposed all things that were round about them so as might favor their attacks, as having Hyrcanus's party very ready to afford them both counsel and assistance. 3. But Pompey himself filled up the ditch that was oil the north side of the temple, and the entire valley also, the army itself being obliged to carry the materials for that purpose. And indeed it was a hard thing to fill up that valley, by reason of its immense depth, especially as the Jews used all the means possible to repel them from their superior situation. Nor had the Romans succeeded in their endeavors, had not Pompey taken notice of the 7 days, on which the Jews abstain from all sorts of work on a religious account, and raised his bank, but restrained his soldiers from fighting on those days, for the Jews only acted defensively on Sabbath days. But as soon as Pompey had filled up the valley, he erected high towers upon the bank, and brought those engines which they had fetched from Tyre near to the wall, and tried to batter it down, and the slingers of stones beat off those that stood above them, and drove them away. But the towers on this side of the city made very great resistance, and were indeed extraordinary, both for largeness and magnificence. 4. Now here it was that, upon the many hardships which the Romans underwent, Pompey could not but admire, not only at the other instances of the Jews' fortitude, but especially that they did not at all intermit their religious services, even when they were encompassed with darts on all sides. For, as if the city were in full peace, their daily sacrifices and purifications, at every branch of their religious worship, was still performed to God with the utmost exactness. Nor, indeed, when the temple was actually taken, and they were every day slain about the altar, did they leave off the instances of their divine worship that were appointed by their law. For it was in the 3rd month of the siege before the Romans could even with great difficulty overthrow one of the towers and get into the temple. Now he that first of all ventured to get over the wall was Faustus Cornelius, the son of Sylla, and next after him were 2 centurions, Furius and Fabius, and every one of these was followed by a cohort of his own, who encompassed the Jews on all sides, and slew them, some of them as they were running for shelter to the temple, and others as they, for a while, fought in their own defense. 5. And now did many of the priests, even when they saw their enemies assailing them with swords in their hands, without any disturbance, go on with their divine worship, and were slain while they were offering their drink offerings, and burning their incense, as preferring the duties about their worship to God before their own preservation. The greatest part of them were slain by their own countrymen of the adverse faction, and an innumerable multitude threw themselves down the precipices. Nay, some there were who were so distracted among the insuperable difficulties they were under, that they set fire to the buildings that were near to the wall, and were burnt together with them. Now, of the Jews were slain 12,000, but of the Romans very few were slain, but a greater number was wounded. 6. But there was nothing that affected the nation so much, in the calamities that they were then under, as that their holy place, which had been hitherto seen by none, should be laid open to strangers, for Pompey, and those that were about him, went into the temple itself. Footnote. Thus says Tacitus, C.N. Papelna first of all subdued the Jews, and went into their temple, by right of conquest. Nor did he touch any of its riches, as has been observed on the parallel place of the Antiquities, B. 14, chapter 4, section 4, out of Cicero himself. End footnote. Whither it was not lawful for any to enter but the high priest, and saw what was reposited therein, the candlestick with its lamps, and the table, and the pouring vessels, and the censers, all made entirely of gold, as also a great quantity of spices heaped together, with 2,000 talents of sacred money. Yet did not he touch that money, nor anything else that was there reposited. But he commanded the ministers about the temple, the very next day after he had taken it, to cleanse it, and to perform their accustomed sacrifices. Moreover, he made Hyrcanus high priest, as one that not only in other respects had showed great alacrity on his side during the siege, but as he had been the means of hindering the multitude that was in the country from fighting for Aristobulus, which they were otherwise very ready to have done, by which means he acted the part of a good general, and reconciled the people to him more by benevolence than by terror. Now, among the captives, Aristobulus's father-in-law was taken, who was also his uncle, so those that were the most guilty he punished with decalathlon, but rewarded Faustus, and those with him that had fought so bravely, with glorious presents, and laid a tribute upon the country, and upon Jerusalem itself. 7. He also took away from the nation all those cities that they had formerly taken, and that belonged to Celesyria, and made them subject to him, that he was at that time appointed to be the Roman president there, and reduced Judea within its proper bounds. He also rebuilt Gadara. Footnote. The coin of this Gadara, still extant, with its date from this era, is a certain evidence of this its rebuilding by Pompey, as Spanheim here assures us. End footnote. That had been demolished by the Jews, in order to gratify one Demetrius, who was of Gadara, and was one of his own freedmen. He also made other cities free from their dominion, that lay in the midst of the country, such, I mean, as they had not demolished before that time, Hippos and Scythopolis, as also Pella and Samaria and Marissa, and besides these Ashdod and Jamnia and Arethusa, and in like manner dealt he with the maritime cities, Gaza and Joppa and Dora, and that which was anciently called Strato's Tower, but was afterward rebuilt with the most magnificent edifices, and had its name changed to Caesarea by King Herod. All which he restored to their own citizens, and put them under the province of Syria, which province, together with Judea, and the countries as far as Egypt and Euphrates, he committed to Scaurus as their governor, and gave him 2 legions to support him, while he made all the haste he could himself to go through Cilicia, in his way to Rome, having Aristobulus and his children along with him as his captives. They were 2 daughters and 2 sons, the one of which sons, Alexander, ran away as he was going, but the younger, Antigonus, with his sisters, was carried to Rome.